We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
You guys, I'm so excited. We are here live with Bree, and we are so excited. Virtually Limitless Entrepreneurs, you have no idea who this lady is. She is the boss of Clubhouse. She is has a heart of gold, and she's just a wicked lady living her life and business on her terms. And it didn't start like this. It isn't how she imagined it, but you guys, she is bossing it, and I cannot wait for her to share just gold nuggets with all of you on what her story and transformation has looked like. Bree, welcome to Virtually Limitless.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. So Bree, without further ado, I would love for people to know what you do in the online space. Give us just a glimpse into your life and business.
Sure. So just to scratch the surface, and I will say in complete transparency, it's evolved quite rapidly in the last month alone. So 2021's already starting out just total, completely different from 2020 in all good ways.
Yes.
So at least there's that. So thank God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So far, so good. So we'll just take a step aside. And for the past over 15 years, my background has been in event planning. Started in, you know, just right here in my small town that I live in here in California, and then like slowly but surely expanded. And then in recent years, doors opened and I was able to grow and scale globally. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. So as far as living and breathing, as I say, on Zoom, not new to me. Mm-hmm. At all, because that's how I've run my entire business for the past several years, to be able to coordinate events in different countries on a variety of continents. And it wasn't until, of course, you probably hear this just from everyone in the events industry, when 2020 pandemic hit, comes March, for me, I was at like my peak. I felt this was the best year. I had something aligned with like, I had an event that was being coordinated in conjunction with the Tokyo Olympics. So I had like that level is what I had hit. And then all of a sudden the governor here in California, it's shelter in place. And I was like, oh. And you knew, I just knew in my gut, I was like, it's done. Like, that's it. And I had to cancel everything literally overnight. Everything just done, shut down. And it was devastating. It was also, I'll be totally candid, a blow to my ego that I didn't realize I needed. So I will say that. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that, of course.
Yeah.
And I had to recalibrate my entire outlook on events and approach to events and my business in general to be virtual or online, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so that comprised of all of 2020. In retrospect, 2020 to me was laying the groundwork. So for me, I thought I was cruising through 2020. I thought like, I've established this whole business, this whole company, this whole identity. But now that 2021 has hit and I've really taken off quite rapidly because of Clubhouse, I mean, 2020 is like elementary school compared to what's happening now. And I didn't realize that until I look back. And I'm like, this was all just preparing me for what's to come. And it was kismet though. It's worked out quite so lovely.
So many lessons that you just dropped, like you guys, so many things. And like the most recent one that she just dropped here was in the moment, it felt, you know, 2020 in the moment that felt like, wow, what else can I take? Like, what else is going to happen? And now you're into 2021 and you're like, oh my gosh, the sky is the limit. Like, what the heck? Like, I have all of this just like you felt then. So living in the present and embracing that, I think is so powerful. And you embraced it for the lessons, for what you could, you know, lay is that foundation. So you're not building on sand, you're building on a solid foundation that will actually, you know, boost you into so many greater levels in your future. That's so powerful. But holy cow, we're talking Olympics. We're talking like whoop whoop. Like, what was that? Like, so many people think of, you know, I talked with one of the celebrity love experts the other day here on the show, and like, you know, it's mm-hmm. like when you hit celebrity, it's like, dang, you know, but when you're talking Olympics and all that kind of level, like, what was that moment like for you? How did you position yourself to be that authority in the event space to take on clients like that at Olympic levels? Like, what was that journey?
So it's interesting. So I started really young. I got my foot in the door at 18 into the events industry. And I got it in through a chamber of commerce in this area that is one of, hands down, the best in the state, where it's, you know, five events a week. So when I got my foot in the door, I got my foot in the door and was thrown into the deep end, which worked out for the better, because within a few years, I had a few hundred events already under my belt. So it was a crash course. Yeah, it was just a huge crash course. Amazing. Best thing that ever happened to me, for genuinely my first real job too, on top of it. Wow. And I got the bug. And it was kind of no turning back from there. And I just went, and I just needed, I've always been a very hungry person. Like, I need something more and I want to try something new. Mm-hmm. And every event, I'm very fortunate. I'm not a wedding planner. I'm not really like a big convention conferences planner. I've done it. But for me, I love every single event to be so, so different. It makes it so much more exciting for me. Yes. And I'm a creative mind. I come from an arts background. Oh, and cool. I was a filmmaker and performance. So for me, creativity is very important. Mm-hmm. And so is, you know, storytelling. So every event, to be able to just curate it and tell a story with it and have so much artistic creativity. So it's everything from just genuinely like a small private dinner at a speakeasy in Boston to food and wine events to fundraisers, Academy Award galas. Like, it just goes up and up to music festivals. So it's all different sizes.
So cool.
But every single one, I can say, and it's been over 1,000 now at this point, has been totally different.
Even just a round of applause there, over 1,000. Like, I'm sorry, we got to pause that. It's just over 1,000. Your ego has become so modest. I'm just over here ready to clap you guys. Okay, now you can keep going. Keep going.
Sorry.
Keep going. It's all good.
It's so interesting because it becomes very normalized in a lot of ways. It was the everyday. This is what I do. Every week is okay. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to serve the organization that I'm working for and their members, if it's a nonprofit, and the extended network from there.
Sure.
And so to get to where I'm starting to work with people involved with the Olympics, or it's one of the co-founders of Salesforce, or once you start getting to that level, mm-hmm. it really became, in all honesty, and this kind of was the way that my entire career went, it was all about who I met, who I connected with, my network, the quote unquote, who you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just knowing them. It was being able to foster relationships and maintaining them over the course of years. It doesn't mean you have to talk to them every day, but you maintain that relationship and service. Mm. And that was what did it, because then by extension, someone knows someone who knows someone.
Heck yeah.
And that was what was key to getting me these opportunities. Even if it was through the organizations that I was based at or working with, all it took was just knowing the right person at the right time and making sure you always had a touch point with them. And every time you saw them, you were appreciative and grateful for that relationship.
Sure.
And people are more willing to give back and to reach out to you and trust you because of it. It wasn't so much, exactly. So I don't feel like it was just me. I feel like it was me and a community and friendships and networks that carried me through my career and supported me. So I give credit to a lot of the people who I connected with that provided those opportunities and opened those doors.
That's so incredible. So, you know, you guys, it's so easy for us to get, especially in these, you know, crazy times where we can't see people in person. Like, if you put me in a room, I sell you all. Like, you're just going to be stuck to my magnet. You can't help it. And that's okay. But like, people are so scared to reach out in the DMs, to reach out on the post and be like, hey, that meant a lot. You know, I connected with your story. I'd love to talk to you more about it. You know, like, we forget so quickly that these leaders and influencers and, you know, massive CEOs are still human, and they still love meeting people. They still love connecting over the fact you both have a pit bull, or you both sing, you know, and you want to be on America's Got Talent someday, you know, in the future, you know, or whatever the case is. It's so, so crucial, like you said, to have those little touch points with people that just create that rapport with, with, you know, and it's you with your clients, but it's also you with your, you know, Dream 100, really.
Exactly.
And I also, Olympics was way up there, I'm sure, you know, for a while.
Yeah, it was. And I also it was always very important to me to still maintain authenticity in the sense of, in complete transparency, I've always been a class clown. I'm a total goofball. I'm the person
who love that about you.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it if you had walked into, you know, the office prior to the pandemic, not home office, but like the office.
Yes.
I'm sitting at the desk and, you know, I have the nice clothes on, but at the same time, you wouldn't know that, like, I've slipped my shoes off and I'm chilling barefoot with like my feet crisscrossed on my chair because I'm still me.
Yep.
And I'm still running on coffee because I'm also a single mom to two on top of it. Yeah, I know, right? Cheers.
Heck yeah. Yeah. There it is. We were showing coffee on our screens. Yes, lady. It's so good.
That's mine right there.
Love it.
And that's always really important. So as much as you see me at events and I'm the person running around, whether it's, you know, with like the ear thing in and I'm in the really nice clothes and the high heels, I'm also the girl who started out in torn jeans and a t-shirt 6 hours earlier and changed in the bathroom.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, and so it was always very important to still maintain a level of that self-awareness and that humbleness and stay grounded. So that also made me more approachable, I think.
Yes.
Because I never had to stick up my ass.
No.
I was still me.
Yes. And that's the cool thing is like you being able to identify as the best version of you, you know, the mom, the CEO, the boss, the like class clown, like all those great things just brought in your personality into the event as well. And people don't realize like your personality, your message can influence something in such a dramatic way. But it starts with you. Like, you know, in order to change the world, you change yourself. And that's so powerful that you were able to do that. And I totally would have kicked off my heels and ran the halls with you. But like, it's one of those things that like, you know, when you look, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. I guess that's the message that I'm trying to say. Long story short, don't judge a book by its cover because it's one of those things that we all can, you know, look the part, but we play the part to such a greater level. It's like, you can have, you know, the badass boss and all that kind of stuff, but you get the bonus where you get the humor, the fun, the love and all of that all in one shot.
Yep.
That's so incredible, Brie. I love that so much. And I think influencers and people can tell the difference between like a fangirl and like someone who's totally here and being like, you know, hey, I really love, like something I love is Jenna Kutcher. Jenna Kutcher shares a lot of her pictures with her daughter, Coco. I love that as a mom. Because it's like, she has a fantastic business. She's a badass at all that she does, but she's even a better mom.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. And so whether you're a parent listening to this, you know, whatever, never allow yourself to feel, you know, undermined by people that don't necessarily have the responsibilities and roles that you do. They may be able to move a little bit faster because you're not able to free up that brain space as much as they can because you have, you know, your children, you have this lifestyle that is different. Embrace it and realize that that's kind of your message. That's super cool. I love that about you. And for you, Brie, being a single mom, I have a husband that's usually gone Monday through Friday. So I feel like a single mom, but I'm not a single mom. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. How has that been for you? Like building this empire and yet creating a kingdom that you rule as queen. Like, how has that been for you? I would just love to explore that with you.
Yeah. It's interesting. It depends on the day. You know, to be honest, it really is. You have to take it day by day, even more so with the times that we're in right now.
Yes.
You know, having the schools closed here in California, it's quite strict, the orders as well. And so for me, I will say this, it was much harder when it first started in March, April. I would say March through May, like the tail end of that school year, having to figure out a way to homeschool, social, do the distance learning for my kids and not having a parent to tap out and take over if I needed them to. And I have a 6.5-year-old and a 14-year-old. So mind you, the 14-year-old is self-sufficient, so that's helpful. But the 6.5-year-old at that time is kindergarten. And it was tough, especially because at that age, you know, he was 5.
Yeah.
At that age, sitting still in front of Zoom, you know, and having to do all this work at home when all you want to do at home is have fun. That's the fun place.
Exactly.
So there were so many tears and mommy had tears sometimes too.
Yes.
I was still working. So there were, at that time, I was still working for an organization on top of it. Sure. So I still had like the corporate event planning job. And so with that, I would be at our kitchen dining table and I would have my 5-year-old in a chair next to me on Zoom, trying to learn how to read and write and me helping. And then I would be in front of a Zoom call as well, trying to engage in conversation with, you know, my employer and my team. Yep. And it, and then on top of it, you know, you have a dog running in the background. Like there was always something. Yes. And I can't tell you, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you the Zoom calls I had when my 5-year-old walked into the room naked behind me. And like, I can't, like, there's so many moments.
Oh, and no.
Yes, it happened. And I look back now, and of course, that was a moment I could laugh too. In the moment, yes. That was really refreshing. Like I needed right. that. It was so real. Yes. But the times when I was trying to juggle, and it's hard to juggle as well when you're in a corporate environment. I'm already the youngest at the level I was at, and I'm a woman.
Yes.
In a boys' yes. club. Oof. And that was really, really hard already. So then yep. to also be in the position, which a lot of times you're also ostracized as a single mother, is made it really difficult because there wasn't a lot of empathy there sometimes. And so I quit in the middle of the pandemic and I went full-time entrepreneur at that on top of it. It wasn't until after I made that choice that things started to improve because I was able to finally dictate the kind of teacher I wanted to be, the kind of mother I wanted to be, to find my own work and life balance, to make time yes. for me, make time for my kids, rather than have it dictated by someone else and their expectations. And so it was going up from there. Now, I'm not saying it's been perfect, no. that I figured it out, mm-hmm. because we haven't. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the next week, a month from now, mm-hmm. or years from now. And it's difficult when a kid misses their friends. It's yes. difficult when mommy misses her friends. And also mom gets lonely too. Yes. I'm a single mom. Heck and yeah. that makes it really difficult too. So there are tears, 1000%. Mm-hmm. So okay. it might look, yeah, exactly. It's okay. And yes. anyone else out there that feels that, and I don't care whether you're a single mom or not a single mom, or you don't even have kids.
Yes.
I mean, regardless, the times we are in, mm-hmm. it is difficult. 1000%. And you are so not alone. You might look at, there's a lot of people who put me on a pedestal right now, especially with the Clubhouse app. And as fancy and fantastic as that, it looks up there. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm still in my sweatpants from 3 days ago. And I'm still running on coffee with a dog who just had diarrhea all over the floor and a kid running around naked. I mean, you don't see that.
No.
You don't see me running around stressed with the oily hair and, you know, while still, yes, building an empire, but regardless, there's still that authenticity, that the real life yes. that is happening off camera. Mm-hmm. And so I hope anyone out there that feels like a hot mess knows that even the people with the high heels in the photos on Instagram or the people building an empire are hot messes too.
Yes. And the mess is the message. And that's just mm-hmm. so powerful. If you allow it to be your fuel, you know what? It's like, don't let that weigh you down. Let it lift you up. Like yep. stand on those rocks. Don't carry those rocks. Stand on those rocks. Put yourself not on a pedestal of egotism, but just truly of, hey, I'm doing this regardless. Is it pretty? Not always. I'm mm-hmm. wearing a kind of white shirt and sometimes it's got chocolate. It's got carrots from baby food. It's got See? All of it on it. Yes, I know. And it's mm-hmm. it's good. It's good. And it's okay. And yes. just to realize, you know, especially a message to the women out there, men, we love you too, because we all have our place at the table. But, yes. you know, truly for the women right now, you know, mama, wife, doesn't matter, single, like, you just have to realize that your mess is your message too. And to share that unapologetically, especially right now, because somebody yeah. somewhere needs to hear what you're doing. And like Brie, she took the jump. Was it easy? No. Was it scary? Heck yes. Mm-hmm. But she found the truest, highest version of herself by allowing herself to grow into that painfully. Grow into that position, because we're at our greatest power, you guys, when we allow ourselves to make the decision. You made the decision to level up and not answer to corporate.
Yeah.
You made the decision that you were going to provide for your son solo without corporate, whatever income, salary, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You made that decision that you were going to figure it out and find a way to heal yourself through some of that on your own.
Yeah, ladies, absolutely.
I know she's not the only one. She's a heck of a queen, but she's not the only one that's had this. So I just want you to know she's just a shining example of what you can do as well, whether that's staying at your job, leaving your job. It may look a little different, but the principles still apply. And absolutely. You are so worth it. You are so worth it.
And, you know, obviously sometimes those, what my mindset coach calls mind gremlins, will sneak in, you know, whether Absolutely. It's the imposter syndrome or whatever, or even just insecurity about, oh my God, what are my kids thinking of me right now when I'm barely holding it together? But I'll tell you right now, especially even as a single mother, all of that went away for me the moment when my 6.5-year-old had a journal assignment from his teacher, and he was instructed to write a few sentences about, you know, who's your favorite superhero? What do you want to be like them? You know, what are they like? And so you should know my 6.5-year-old's bedroom that is right next to mine is decked out in Superman and Marvel comics, like so typical boy.
Total boy.
And so I'm like, I will help you spell Superman, but he didn't wrote about mom.
That's going to make me cry.
I know, I'm going to try not to myself right now.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to lie.
My two boys need to practice from him. Holy smokes.
Well, no, it was just, it shows that they see you.
Yes.
They see you and they hear you. Mm-hmm. And it's in our head, that insecurity. But I assure you, like, those kids know when you are fighting and they love you to the end of the earth and back. Whether you are in sweatpants or you are in high heels, you know, it doesn't matter. I guarantee you, you trying your best is enough.
And that's something that you're actually, you know, you showing up and taking on that hard life is actually encouraging them to see the struggle and to grow with you. Like, you don't like as mothers too, you know, women as well, but like as a mother, we're building the next generation. Like, you know, we're building an empire, but we're also subconsciously creating the next leaders to take it over. Because we can't carry the torch forever. And I don't know, that's something that's super, super powerful for me. My kids are younger than two. I've got two boys. And it's one of those things where it's like, that's so heavy on my soul. But at the same time, allowing them to see the good and bad of my journey. You know, it's one of those, like, one of my sons was born 2 months early. So I was going to NICU back and forth for 41 days. I would cry when I had to leave the other one at somebody else's house because I quit my job as a dental assistant to raise our sons at home. And so it's one of those things where here I was trying to take care of him and be the stay-at-home mom, build my empire, but now I actually had to leave him so I could be with the other one and split my attention. And no mom wants to do that. So even with your business and your children, you probably feel like one's the baby and one's the other child, where you feel like you're dividing your attention.
Yeah.
And as a woman, we're so... we feel so guilty about that. I guess the number one thing that I found for me, Bree, was to just realize that I'm wearing this hat or this pair of glasses in this time, and I'm going to show up as the best person in this place for what is needed of me at that moment. How was that kind of fence moment for you? Because yes, you're building an empire, but you also have this child, your children, you've got two children as well. Like you're trying to build them up. You know, one is kind of a young adult and one is a younger adolescent. Like, how is that? And it's not a balancing act. I like to call it integrated life, because when we're at home with what's going on, you know, we're here all the time and your kids in California, Minnesota is similar as well. But like in California, you've got kids at home. Is it just kind of dancing back and forth between both? How do you keep that, you know, that okayness and inner peace as you build both up to be the strongest fortresses ever?
With like the work me and the mom me, so to speak.
Oh, so good.
Like the work mom and the mom mom. To be perfectly honest, it's interesting. When I first decided to just become basically a full-time entrepreneur, solopreneur at that.
Yeah.
And the first few months of that, I was hustling so hard, insane hours, 7 days a week. I was just going all in. And a big part of that was because I was still doggy paddling in those waters. I was still trying to figure that out. I had always had a, you know, career, but I already had that fine-tuned.
Yes.
So now I was redefining everything. And so to do that was a really challenging, you know, recalibration of identity and business. And I was not spending the time with my kids that I should have been. And I had a coach put me in check. And that was the that was a really important moment. And I carry it with me always, what he told me. And I was on a call with him, if I remember correctly. And my six-year-old had come in and he was asking me like, you know, mom, can you come and play a game with me or something? And I said, you know, hold on one sec, mom's finishing up a call. And he had heard me say that a few times, I think, if I remember correctly. And okay. So for that, he said, I want you to pause. He said, I want you to go play with him. He said, I want you to also do this. He said, I want you to make sure that you find a time in your schedule every single day. And if this means you literally schedule it, whatever that looks like, where you are not allowed to work, you're not allowed to take work calls, you don't check your emails, your social media, nothing. It is literally exclusive for playing with your kid, period.
So good.
And so I immediately got off the call with him. I turned off my computer and we went outside and jumped on the trampoline and, love you know, just it. played again.
Yes.
And so that's what I've carried with me. And I hear his voice all the time, every time, you know, he comes in. Now, are there times where I genuinely do have to say, you know, 1 minute, sweetie, but absolutely. It's one thing to say 1 minute and then not do it hours, you know, and hours go by. And it's another thing to say 1 minute and then follow through with what you said. And so was the big thing to navigate. And also to be able to see when I need to stop and take a minute and go, you know what? Nothing's going to happen between right now and tomorrow morning. We can stop and have dinner and a movie night tonight. Things like that. Changes have been key to being able to find, you know, as you described, that harmony between the two roles. And it genuinely was, it was this external force of someone that, you know, I respected and relied on. That voice saying that to me was the check that I need. So I didn't find it within myself until someone made me aware of it. And then I acted on it.
That's so powerful. And so many times, you know, it really takes an outside looking in. It's not that you're blind. It's you're likely. And I was on a coaching call the other day too, where she was stressed. She was, you know, she's got all the things going on, but it's one of those things where I was like, you're so stressed looking for other things that you miss what's right in front of you.
Exactly.
Not that your eyes are closed, your eyes are open, you're looking for it, but you can't even see what's happening right in your space. And nobody should ever go through that. So, you know, if this is, you know, a word to all of us, take a step back and be like, hey, be the person on the outside for a second and be like, hey, what does this look like? Am I following through on my word? Am I honoring myself, my children, my coworkers, my clients, yada, yada, yada. Like, take a step back. And I think 2020 really caused a lot of us to do that without really asking our permission. So I love and hope that most of us, you know, embrace that. I know that was something for me. I got knocked on my butt a couple of times and mine was more health related, but it really helped me realize like, what am I doing? Who am I trying to become? And how am I honoring, you know, my purpose and my mission at the same time? So
exactly.
I just love your journey that way too. And it's messy, you guys. It's messy and it's okay. It's okay. And I just love that you've, you know, allowed yourself to grow through that process. So drum roll, please. I want to talk about Clubhouse because I love it.
Oh, geez.
So this lady jumped on Clubhouse, you guys. And if you don't know what Clubhouse is, we've talked about it a couple of times on the podcast. But if you're new here to the show, Clubhouse is another social connection platform where you're able to kind of connect in just an audio conversational format. You're able to come on stage, ask questions, reach out to influencers and leaders that you never would have touched otherwise. And Bree jumped in headfirst into this thing when it was just starting. And guys, she dominates. And I want to hear from your side how that crazy swim has been for you, because I know you've been busy. I see you all over the place. I get notifications for Bree. You should too follow her. but yes, she's all over the place. How on earth, you know, it's still in development. Like you say, you're still searching it out, but like, what has that journey been like for you?
So I didn't know I didn't know what I was signing up for, which most people don't when they go first onto the platform. And for me, I will say this for clarification. So I wasn't there from like the quote unquote beginning, because I think it started in March. You know, very small. I was there more of like at the time where it kind of started to blow up, quote unquote, still invite only, still very small community. So blow up almost sounds exaggerated now. But nevertheless, when it definitely started to grow more quickly. So yes. I've actually only been on the platform itself for about a month, but it feels like longer.
You put in the hours, lady.
I put in the hours, and it's interesting. I thought going in, well, I didn't have any expectations going in. I didn't know what the hell it was. But once I figured out, okay, it's a lot of conversations. Interesting. It's not just conversations. These are really content rich conversations with very high quality members with extraordinary backgrounds and accolades.
Yeah.
And so that I've never seen anywhere before, you know, to just turn your phone on and have a conversation with a group of people and Grant Cardone in a room, like, and Tyrese, like when is that ever going to happen?
When is that been a thing?
It's like a group phone call and you just get to be invited. Like you just get to jump on. And so I saw potential there. I realized, okay, this is the most extraordinary instant exposure, brand authority you can have, brand awareness you can have, and networking that I've ever seen. It's instant. The second you turn your phone on and go in, boom, the door is open. Mm-hmm. And so I became very, very interested. There weren't a lot of people talking about events, however, especially even in the virtual event space. Yeah, I wasn't finding those. So I decided, okay, this is a great opportunity to start those conversations.
Yes.
And I could also establish myself as an authority in the space and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I started hosting rooms in that niche and connecting with other people that I either knew already off the platform in my industry and they came on and we started collaborating, or people I met while I was hosting these rooms. And it grew very quickly. I would say within my first week on Clubhouse is when I started to notice followers turning more into what some people call fans or supporters, and they would return over and over and over again. And so once it hit like the 2.5 week mark, that was when me and another friend of mine in the industry decided, okay, we're going to open a club, because there are clubs also within the Clubhouse. And we decided, okay, we're going to open up a virtual events and experiences collective, because we have a ton of supporters. At that time, I think I had a thousand followers or something. Mm-hmm. And we opened it. It got approved not too long later. In fact, it's been around for, I think, 11 days now. Yes. And once we finish going through the approval process, we have a giant wait list for people to get in. I think we're going to hit about 5,000 members in 10 days, which is insane. It's just unheard
of.
It's incredible. And then I started gaining about 1,000 followers a week. And now it's about 1,000 every 48 hours is how it changed. And it's so interesting because it's not just followers. I really couldn't care less about it. Mm-hmm. What I'm more excited about is the fact that it's people that are genuinely interested in the information I want to share, and they want to collaborate and engage. That's what's the best part. It's not just numbers.
A huge win. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not numbers, guys. But the thing is that when you show up unapologetically with the gifts and talents and knowledge, just fount of knowledge that you have, your people are waiting for you. You gotta show the heck up. Bree showed up. She didn't know what it was going to look like. She's like, hey guys, I'm here. Let's party. And then it was just like, bam.
Yeah, it took off really, really quick. That was when just a few days ago, I got named as one of the top 10 event pros to follow on Clubhouse by Excel Events. That was a huge honor to have happen. Yeah. And then now I've become the highest paid moderator on Clubhouse. And basically, it's an entire industry now is being created in itself. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm the first person to, in a moderating position, to get paid for it, have paying clients to moderate their rooms, and then also brand deals. So that's all in less than a month on the platform too. So it's beyond events now. It's whole nother business that organically created. I didn't have any intention or strategy behind that. It just organically happened and it's been really successful.
I think your strategy is real simple. It's called showing up, Bree.
That's true.
Showing the heck up.
And I didn't realize.
Yes, right. No, but it's that simple. You guys, I think the message that we want to harvest from just this incredible story with Bree is just show up, be open, be willing to explore and be like, hey, this is what I got. This is what I bring to the table. Lay it out there. And you being you in that room, you know, resetting, engaging, getting people to, you know, ping people in, grow that atmosphere. Like that energy is contagious. And obviously in your case has not only flourished, but grown prosperous as well in the wealth side of things too, which is all businesses is making transactions. That's what business is. This is nothing against, but it's founded in the depths of your relationships and what you've created in a virtual space in a very short amount of time, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's so good. You guys,
I love it.
I'm telling you, if you're not on Clubhouse, you need to get on Clubhouse. I know it's only for Apples, only for Apple users at this time, and it's by invite only. But if you are on there, you need to follow Bree because she is just a golden-hearted human. And your business, if it's not virtual and considering the benefits of virtual events, probably a lot of gold that she can share on like what that looks like and all that kind of goodness in her clubs. Because I don't think the virtual age is ever going to go away. I think we're going to be able to get back into in-person events and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Bree, what are your thoughts on like transitioning back and forth? I think it's just going to be more of a hybrid era. What do you think?
I completely agree with you as well. There's so much ROR and ROI in the virtual space that it would be a great disservice to anyone to completely, I think, abandon the opportunity and the door that's opened. It's an entire ecosystem in itself now, and it's fantastic. It's more affordable for a lot of people. Mind you, this is, of course, depending on what kind of virtual event you're doing and the scale event, but it's wonderful. The doors that's open. And I knew the moment I started seeing online experiences marketplaces pop up with Airbnb, with Zoom competitors, Hopin, Eventbrite. Once I saw especially Airbnb, which if no one has looked, check it out because they are the absolute master in this space. The moment I saw that happen, I knew. I knew it was here to stay. It validated it completely. It was, it's just wild. Yeah, it's huge. And I think not only is that here to stay, where I think you'll see people continue doing exclusively virtually for a very long time, but the hybrid is going to be wonderful. I think absolutely wonderful opportunities for so many people and so many businesses.
Yeah. And there's, I think that there's such a place for, you know, brick and mortars, yes, but I think there's such a place for us to grow even in that fear right now. Everyone's like, I don't want to go online, or, you know, even for some of us that are, you know, in the further generations where they're like, I'm still scared of online, you know, just to realize the opportunity and potential, you know, coming from someone that has been in the events industry for, you said 15 years, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like, yeah, I mean, there's so much potential that can be sifted through and guided depending on how you want to embrace it, what that means for you and your business. Like there are people out there that want to see you succeed, because that's what we thrive on. That's what we live for. And Bree is one of those smart badasses in that area. I'm not Bree is, but oh, I'm so excited for you guys. So hopefully you will be able to ask all of your amazing questions from this just gem of a soul. You can find her on Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, you name it. Her Instagram is growing because that's how you connect with her through Clubhouse. Hint, hint, wink, wink. It's going to be phenomenal, you guys. I would love to ask you, Bree, as we're wrapping up our time, what would be one encouraging message for people? They're coming out of 2021, probably the most transformational year for good or for bad in their life. What would you encourage them to just embrace in this next upcoming year with opportunities, fear, all of it? What would you love to share with our listeners?
For me, it would be the biggest takeaway, so to speak, from 2020 that I now carry with me quite literally. In fact, I'm showing you here on screen this tattoo on my arm. So it's the ugliest tattoo you'll ever see because it's my own handwriting.
Oh, so I love that.
I call it my permanent post-it note. And it says, do it afraid. As I said, ugliest tattoo because I have wretched handwriting. But I got that on there not long after I decided to quit my job. And I was really struggling, of course, with the kids and navigating that.
Yeah.
But this message is what I would like to pass on because that's what I had to do. I was afraid, and I wasn't just, part of that fear is where you get analysis paralysis, right?
Yes.
Where you start looking for all the, you get shiny object syndrome. And I would also always come up with, well, I would have all these reasons. I need to stay in a job, even if I'm miserable because of health insurance. I need to stay in this job, even if I'm miserable because I don't have any clients waiting for me yet. that. I need to stay in this job. I need to, even if I'm miserable. And so I was sacrificing my own well-being, my own mental health,
yes,
and the quality of life that I was living for these reasons that were totally unnecessary because I was afraid. And right. I had to eventually go, you know what? It's okay that I'm afraid because I'm not going to be afraid forever. Mm-hmm. I just have to do it and I have to do it right now. And I literally like quit my job in that exact moment. And in fact, I filmed myself giving notice because I wanted to be able to look back and see the look on my face and the smile that I had that came across that I couldn't hold in because I had done it. And it was terrifying because my entire life was about to, you know, change, of course. And then it's happened ever since. There's a lot of decisions where I had to do it afraid. And I had to do it afraid, even as simple as getting up on a Clubhouse stage for the first time.
Yes.
And speaking, no one can see me. It's just audio. But even then I had to do it afraid. So that is my biggest thing is even if you feel afraid, do it. Whether that means sending a message to someone you don't know because you want to network with them, you want to collaborate with them, you want to ask them for advice, do it afraid. You have nothing to lose. You already haven't messaged them. So if they don't message you back or they say no, okay, you've literally lost nothing.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, in my experience over what's now going to be almost a year, I have had almost no one say no. Everyone, especially right now, is so collaborative and so empathetic and compassionate with the times that we are in, especially even on Clubhouse specifically, that it's been just a blessing, such a blessing. So that's why I think my message is going to be, it's okay to do it afraid. Just go ahead and do it because you can fail forward fast. And that's why you're talking about that mess is your message. So go ahead and get messy. Dirt washes off, you know? So what if you're, you know,
it's I like that. Yes, it does.
You fall down and you dust yourself back up. And if you're a little dirty, that's okay. You can still keep going. Yeah. And if you need someone to hold your hand to get you there, then that's okay too.
Yep.
And so I think I'm getting like a visual of helping my kid when he totally eats shit. It's like on the sidewalk, but it's true. Oh yes,
those moments. Right? Yes.
But that applies, I think, a lot to us and our mindset. Mm-hmm. And I would be dishonest to say, I still don't get afraid. You know, there are certain moments, absolutely. We just have to push through. And it's okay, I think, to make sure, you know, you turn to your people, your tribe, for help. Like, find that tribe.
Stay humble.
And that'll get you through it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so powerful. Without fear, there cannot be courage, but do the darn thing anyway. Mm-hmm. Dang, lady. Oh, we're going to have to do this again. But you guys, I am like totally going to the edge of this interview, but guys, she's just been fire. I hope you reach out to her. I hope you ask her your burning questions. And I hope you just know that she's got an empathetic, giving, compassionate heart too, that wants to see you succeed as we'd want for everyone listening to this show. You are virtually limitless. You just have to decide that you will not hold yourself back. Don't let those gremlins get a hold of you. Just allow yourself to grow through whatever phase you're going through. And we can't wait to see you go through it. So we're here for you. We love you.
Thank you.
We will catch you on the next show, you guys. Love you so much, Bree. This was phenomenal.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.